we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
It is the end of July, 2022. And as I remember, last July, 2021, the end of July was the start of a fall that was significantly different than what we thought, which was the Delta outbreak. It was a infection of SARS-CoV-2 causing COVID-19, not just in the supposedly unvaccinated, but it was significantly affecting the vaccinated and causing significant disease. Of course, this was about 3 weeks after our great leader, Anthony Fauci, as well as President Biden, had said that if you get vaccinated, you don't get COVID. Now, it is the end of July, 3 to 4 days since our own president, again, President Biden, who is quadruple vaccinated, has tested positive for COVID and was started on a medicine that has shown to not work that well in the vaccinated population, nor was it studied in that population. Given that reality, that almost everything that was promised by our leaders has not been true, what can we expect in the coming months and weeks? It's a question that I have today, and I think I will first ask it to my co-host, Stuart Tankersley.
This is, I think, the most important podcast we've done yet, Jordan. Yeah, it's interesting what they promised us. And then this week, Dr. Deborah Birx, the scarf lady, has written, she is a career bureaucratic physician who has written a 500 plus page autobiography. If that isn't evidence of a lack of self-awareness, I don't know what is. But it's recently been published, and in it, she admits that she never expected these vaccines to prevent infection, which is contrary to her own statements and that of the task force from both presidents. But the deception and duplicity has been deadly and injured millions and millions, maybe billions. As a result of it, here we are, after so many people have been vaccinated in the United States and other countries that have been heavily vaccinated, like I think we're up to 70% in our country. And now they've extended the age to down to six-month-olds. And what now is the evidence of what happens in immunology and virology, evidence of what we've known, principles we've known for decades? What is the evidence now showing? And I think it is dire. It is amazing that here we are 2.5 years into this, and everything that seems like the government's done, the old Ronald Reagan saying the 7 worst words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, whatever the most scary words you can hear. Well, this is played out in spades, because we're going to go over a paper from Dr. Geert van den Bosch. He is a vaccinologist from Germany who has been proclaiming and screaming about the insanity of our approach the last 2 years now. And unfortunately, the evidence has come in that our fears, our worst nightmares, look like they are coming to fruition. And we'll go through that. Jordan, what do you think? Anything else you need to add before that?
Well, as Deborah Birx admits this week that we overplayed the vaccine, I will quote Dr. Birx around the time of the vaccine coming out from an ABC podcast that she did at the time. And her quote is, quote, "This is one of the most highly effective vaccines we have in our infectious disease arsenal. And so that's why I'm very enthusiastic about the vaccine." Stuart, she did say we overplayed the vaccine. But it appears that she overplayed it knowing, and even now says knowing, that it wouldn't do this. So I would argue if this is one of the most highly effective vaccines they have ever seen in our arsenal, the problem with that is it makes me think about a lot of other vaccines, not necessarily meaning, again, I'm not saying that other vaccines don't work. I'm just saying, how does she evaluate highly effective vaccines? Because it seems like in the past we've had some that actually work, yet she says this one's the best one we've ever had.
Great you know, question.
That again makes me quite upset for our leaders. It's almost like they were throwing away the good reputation and what I would call really acquired credibility in the name of what, Stuart? I don't understand. I mean, again, lie to me once or twice. I think your credibility might be restored. But to lie, knowingly lie, not just be misinformed, because today she's admitting that she knew. Yet this is what she was broadcasting to the people. I think that's the biggest problem. It would be one thing to say, we really didn't know. And I think Walensky, at least in her interview, says, hey, we didn't know. We didn't know about waning. And maybe, again, I'm more interested in her ignorance, Walensky's ignorance, than Birx's duplicity. And in all honesty, true dishonesty. So it makes you wonder, how do we regain credibility when literally Deborah Birx and Fauci were taking our profession, utilizing our good capital gained over, you know, the last 100 years for being honest with patients and not experimenting on them, doing what was right for them, and basically throwing it in some ways in the garbage in the name of, I really don't even know what in the name of at this point, but it seems like control or, you know, some political enterprise. But when you say this is the most highly effective vaccines from somebody who has at this point, not that she deserves it, but has the world at her fingertips in what she says coming out of her mouth is what the government should be saying.
Yeah, it is stark. The level of fraud, malfeasance is historic. I don't think there's any other way to say it. We have not experienced, you know, they were claiming that the DOD and the Secretary of Defense for Vietnam was fraudulent in what he was proclaiming in the fog of war, as well as George H.W. Bush. He and his administration, Colin Powell, lied before the UN, supposedly intentionally. I don't believe that's true. But with the fog of war and what the Secretary of Defense back in the 70s did, 60s and 70s, it's that was fraud, but this is on steroids. This is so tragic what our profession has done, has abdicated, has lost in a way. All of it was so unnecessary. If we would have been forthcoming, Dr. Bosch was telling us, Vanden Bosch was telling us that this is how viruses act. And he said, this is not new. Dr. Michael Yeadon, the former chief respiratory scientist for Pfizer, these two gentlemen were out front early saying, do not do this. And unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think, Stuart, the biggest issue was for me at the time, I guess if I would have known now what I should have known then, or what I know now, if I knew Dr. Birx was lying,
right?
Yeadon's and Vanderbosch's assessment would have made not necessarily a lot more sense, but at the time, to read both opinions, again, not being a vaccinologist myself, Birx may have been acting like one. Fauci historically is somebody that's involved in vaccines, but that's why there was such a dichotomy of opinion. But the dichotomy of opinion was because one side knew they were lying.
And one side has proven to be true yet again.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The lying side was on the government side.
Yeah.
Which makes you even, again, go back to that. That's the problem. I mean, I would say when we look at Vanderbosch's paper that he released on July 11th, we'll look at that in our next segment. I mean, he's been right pretty much all the way along. Yet, early in this endeavor, I would say that as a physician, given that his proclamations were so different than what the mainstream physicians were saying, it took a little while to get to where what he was saying made sense, because I couldn't imagine that our academic leaders would be saying something so opposite. But now that I know that their opposite was just lying, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and I think it was backing up a second. I may have mentioned this on a prior podcast, but when I was put on the working group for the vaccine working group for our state, the very first two-hour WebEx we had, there were 65 people on a working group, which tells you it's a non-working group intentionally. But it was amazing because the 75-page playbook that the CDC sent out to all the states, there was no plan to engage the physicians in the states. None. I brought that to the attention of the state health officer here, and he thought that's fine, no big deal. But what was infused throughout the directive, the playbook, was getting the media on board, because they had already done the heavy work of paying them off billions of dollars, of paying off the big media corporations of the world. But then the whole point was get involved at the local community with your media outlets to push this vaccine. So it's a stark reality when you back up. And at the time, should we engage the doctors in this vaccine effort? No. Should we engage the media? Yes. This does not sound like a medical operation. It sounds completely like a political operation. And that's exactly what has killed so many millions of people now, and unfortunately, as this paper points out, and in the future.
Yeah, I think it's almost like their goal was to bypass
the science. Yeah.
What I would call critical thinking and evaluation of what they were doing.
Yeah.
And even to the point that we can talk about as well, that even to the church.
Yes. I
mean, the fact that they went straight to preachers. You know, they didn't utilize. I mean, so instead of your doctor within your community being talked to and knowledgeable about these vaccines, instead it was like, well, forget him. Let's go right to the influencer of the heart, which, you know, in this vaccine can have another meaning, but it's, you know, they were actively trying to get around being held accountable for what we would call basic scientific understanding. Like, so they didn't want somebody that goes, well, that's a little bit, you know, overkill, or you know, that's never been, you know, somebody who basically just asks a couple of questions and says that doesn't really fit with what we've seen throughout history or what we know about science.
And by the reality, way, there is no dialogue with any of this. It's all
exactly
imposed.
They don't want dialogue. Yeah. I mean, because again, you think of ministers going to push back more or a local physician?
Right. Right. Obviously, the ministers should be a sounding board for their congregation if they truly know what their congregation thinks and believes, in order to help those in authority understand what they're dealing with. No. They took the opposite approach. And it really goes to this generation of leaders who do not understand the fundamental principles of leadership that have been proven throughout time. And they just, and we're going to reference two discussions, one between Dr. Francis Collins, the the discredited, debunked NIH director who retired in shame last winter. And then he was talking with Dr. Russell Moore, the ethics director for the Southern Baptist Convention. And Dr. Russell Moore, some of the statements he made in that interview and in subsequent interview are just tragic, that he would not be on every TV station he could get himself on. And of course, he has very good connections in the media. And it's amazing he would not, given the falsehoods, once again, they continuously repeated Philippians 4, we are to think about what is noble, what is true. They proclaim we are to always seek what is true, which I agree, yet they were lying out of their mouth. It is for the devil repeatedly in the scriptures misquoted scripture for his own benefit, whether it was to Eve or to Jesus himself. So whenever you hear somebody who proclaims to be of the cloth quoting scripture while being in error and then not apologizing for their falsehoods, lies, misrepresentations, or when, like Dr. Russell Moore said, the government is no way going to force this on anybody. And then now here we are last week with 40 to 60,000 guardsmen and reservists who are not going to be paid for going. They won't be able to go to drill now because they didn't get the shot. I haven't heard him proclaim how upset he is about those types of decisions. Of course he's not, because he's bought into the deep state. It's so sinister, all of this, through and through. And I just hope they all repent. I really do, because this is tragic. And the sooner they do, the less damage, and the more we can get, the less damage that will be wrought on people, and also the quicker we can get them the available, needed, affordable antivirals.
Yeah, I'm hopeful of that too. We will be back. Again, this is a American Out Loud Pulse, always one beat ahead. This is Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley with Concerned Doctors. You can find out about us on concerneddoctors.org.
All right. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products. Toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Back to America Out Loud Pulse. I am Stuart Tankersley with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. We're your hosts today, and as in on every Tuesday, please continue to join us and invite your friends to listen to us and the other wonderful hosts at this time on America Out Loud Pulse. Today, I think, may be our most important podcast yet. We're discussing the fraud, the unapologetic lies of the people in charge of this horrible catastrophe called COVID. And we're about to get into a paper, a very important paper written by Dr. Vanden Bosch, a world-renowned vaccinologist. He and Dr. Michael Yeadon, who did not write this paper, but they're the two, I would say, most outspoken critics of the vaccines. They are world-renowned in their leadership in vaccinology. And Dr. Vanden Bosch has written a paper that is startling. He has been warning of this because of known principles, scientific immunology principles, for decades. And he has been warning that these vaccines will put undue pressure on the virus and lead to very bad outcomes. And sure enough, the evidence is now in. That is what is happening. And I'm going to read a summary, a couple of sentences to you, just to give you an idea. And then we're going to get into the details, hopefully not talking too much above your head, but giving you the evidence that shows that you should be rightfully afraid of what has been wrought upon us. And so I'm going to read this. Due to the vaccine pressure, the pressure the vaccines put on this this virus, natural selection and dominant propagation of highly infectious variants sideline a certain part of the immune system against the virus. And that's very important. This is the actually should have been expected.
Here's the crazy thing, Stuart. I think we talked about it last episode, but that prepent that I talked about and was on our last podcast notes was BA4 and 5 are able to suppress innate immune system, which is, I mean, it's so much prescient because, again, this, you know, Vanden Bosch, I think, wrote this maybe a little less than a month ago, and it's already been evident in the actual science.
Exactly right. A part of the immune system, a very important there. Think of it like this. There are two types of our immunity. The innate, which is already there waiting on to defend against an attack. And then the adaptive makes sense. It adapts based on the specifics of the pathogen that we are exposed to. And in the innate immune system, and there's a slight bit of overlap, but in the when the innate immune system is exposed in a population of people that have been vaccinated against a certain one specific pathogen, then that pressure in the middle of the pandemic is going to harm the ability of us to react to future pathogens that are very similar. Not only that, but also to pathogens that are not so very similar. Not like, in other words, not just this virus, a variant of this virus, but another virus like RSV, HIV, different viruses now the person is exposed to, and the population actually can be harmed by that, by this pressure. And so it's very important that we take pause, and we have hope for you. We're going to give you the evidence, and then we're going to tell you the answers to for us to get away from these dangers and to be able to attack them and be readily available when they come, when the attacks have come with new variants.
Yeah, I would say that the most concerning thing about what Vanden Bosch has always put forth is that I would say, unlike Fauci and Birx and the other of their ilk, Vanden Bosch has been correct with most of his predictions. And these predictions, unfortunately, are predictions that show you that vaccinating a mass population with a, you know, narrow historic extinct viral strand, and just one protein of that strand, may give you short-term benefit, but it will rot long-term, really long-term consequences. And I think, somewhat a biblical thing is the short-term sugar rush of is followed by the long-term consequence. It's the same kind of thing here, unfortunately. And so, yes, in the short term, as you know, April 2021, the White House and all their ilk were doing their victory lap. We have seen that that victory lap was a little bit was done too early. It was a mission accomplished kind of moment in politics, which you never should have those. And I think since that time, I mean, again, we're talking about an administration that canceled monoclonal antibody orders in April and May of 2021 because they thought the pandemic was over. They thought the vaccine that they knew, by the way, now admit that they knew wouldn't do anything they said it did. They said it did this, and everything else could go forward. I mean, we had a president proclaiming that this July 4th, again, last year, was kind of the end of the disease. And in 3 to 4 weeks, a year ago, we know what happened. So again, that's our worry. It is scientific to have that worry. It is not to scare anyone. It is to understand that a lot of what is being pushed is not having any long-term benefit. And now, even in the short term, the benefits are becoming even more minuscule.
Yeah. And so this is what we hope to do every week, is give you an action point, give you things to do to help your physician, your community. And so we're going to attach this study on the bottom and take it to your physician and say, please explain. And if they are on our side, give it to them. They need this type of information to take to their colleagues, hopefully, that will then look at the evidence and say, wait a minute, maybe we do need to change course action because it is getting late in the day, as they say. Well, and so the ultimate result, I'm going to just read the summary of this. Once again, the vaccine puts pressure on the virus. The virus initially seems to benefit these people.
And again, I would, Stuart, I would point out that when we talk about a vaccine, this expressly is a narrow suboptimal vaccine. It's not the one Deborah Birx said, which was the most efficacious vaccine in the infectious disease armamentarium. So anyway, so again, the problem is
no
the lies that started this thing out are what leads to this. They're the lies that are being admitted to now. Oh, we knew that it wasn't going to do this and this and this. So keep going.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a suboptimal vaccine. It's not really.
And it's not even a vaccine. You know, they keep changing the definition so it can fit their narrative, even though they know that it's going to, they're going to make a lot of money. A few people, a couple of companies are going to make a lot of money, but it is going to be to the death and destruction of cultures, communities, countries, and obviously by people. So here is the summary. If you, because of the vaccines, the evidence has already shown what we would have expected it to show is now confirmed. That if you give these vaccines like we've been doing and continue, and please do not give these vaccines to these young children or to anybody, but especially to these young children, the dramatic rise because of antibody-dependent enhancement, a well-known scientific theory, or not just theory, but principle, has been, the evidence is clear. These people are going to develop severe C19 disease because of antibody-dependent enhancement. Not only that, but the people that have been vaccinated are going to have severe immunopathology. The immune system is going to go haywire. People, it is just amazing on so many fronts how the immune system controls such. But they're also going to have a lot of problems, unfortunately, with acute self-limiting microbial infections, as I mentioned before, other types of viruses, bacteria, fungus as well, and cancer. There's going to be, so in those over the age of 10, there's going to be severe cancer disease. And that goes, that was proven, unfortunately, a famous football player 2 days ago was diagnosed with leukemia. He's from our state. He's a wide receiver from in the NFL now. But these cancers are going to be on the rise now. We've already seen it. The military's own data showed it. Epidemiology data source revealed that within the first year of this vaccine rolling out, dramatic increases in types of cancer.
Yeah, and Stuart, I think the important concept of that is one thing that I will point out to a lot of people is what is the most effective and current kind of treatment protocols for cancers? And, you know, 20, 25 years ago, it was mainly radiation, it was chemotherapy. You will find, first of all, that we're fairly good at treating cancers are better than we were. And the reason is because we've discovered the immune system is quite involved in cancer. And most of the current effective therapies for cancer are immune modulating. So it is not a surprise that when you mess with the immune system, as I would call poke the bear, sometimes if you don't, if you poke it the wrong way, there is H-E-L-L to pay. And I think that unfortunately is what makes me, again, a lot of our tried and true mechanisms of how we understood the immune system, the deeper we get, the more we realize that the immune system itself is kind of a governing body that we don't want to mess with unless we know what we're doing.
Correct. Yes. Amen. And this is so... Golly, this is such self-inflicted wounds. I mean, it's just, use a tennis term, unforced error. We did not have to do this to ourselves because, once again, this is not this virus. The SARS-2 virus is not in the top 50 most deadly infectious agents on the planet. And here we are. We've sold out due to fear and cowardice. Lack of faith. We have sold out our country, our future, to these evil people who have done so much damage. And I'm sure they are making a ton of money and getting a lot of fame, making a ton of money off of their own books, 500 pages for a bureaucratic doctor. I imagine in history, there are a lot of people that deserve 500-page books, but I don't think she would be one of them. Maybe a 2-page pamphlet. But this is amazing that she has been able to get away with it. She and these others have been able to get away with it because they have gone against tried and true scientific methods and principles in so many fields of medicine. But the fundamental thing is that should have been alarming to everyone is they do not and have not allowed for discussion. And it has continued to this day. That's why we encourage you to please take today's podcast, listen to it, send it to your friends and family, especially physicians, because the day is getting long. The effects of these viruses as we enter into the fall and winter months are of these vaccines are going to be tragic beyond anything we could have considered. And it's all been intentional. It's clear that it's all been intentional.
Yeah, that is my concern is that the other thing is that the solution that they have brought for their continued ineffectiveness and lack of really lack of honesty about this vaccine or injection is their answer has been, we'll get another dose. And usually when you've been dishonest about the first two doses, I would ask most individuals to really take a step back and say, okay, if they're on a book tour and on this book tour admitting that they were dishonest to you. Again, I'll remind you, Deborah Birx is not out there today to make your life any better. The only reason she has reappeared is to sell books. And that should make you mad as hell. Okay. Second of all, their solution continues to be the same thing that hasn't worked. And just like any other therapy, continuing to go to a physician or your treating doctor with a solution that has failed, you might need to look for a new treating physician. And again, I mean, there are some things that are untreatable, but here's the other thing. You want your doctor to be honest if that's the case. So I think that's, again, where we are worried is we have dishonesty from our gentry class of physicians. But within that dishonesty, we have doubling down on the same solution. And that,
yeah,
that's
no
scary.
Question. Yeah, and no question. And so what so we've given you the dire warning that is what we expected once again, sadly. But what's the answer? And his answer, he underlines it. Unless we make safe and effective antivirals immediately available in sufficient supply and at affordable cost for prophylactic use of vaccinees at the first sign of the epidemic wave, we're going to face a massive loss of human life, as if that which we've already experienced isn't enough. And of course, this all comes from an engineered virus. Make no mistake about it. They immediately kick people off of the internet and kick people off of different platforms or whatever when they would say such early on. But the evidence is overwhelming now. Even they're hedging their bets. I talked to one of the top coronavirologists in the country out of California, and he was very dismissive of then President Trump's accusations that this was manufactured. It is clear. He was a fool then. I hope he has repented and is no longer believing in this, in the deceptions. But we need to make antivirals that are effective, widely available. And guess what? We have a couple of them, don't we, Jordan?
Yeah, we have tons of them. Many, many medicines and many, many things that we have found out have significant antiviral properties, as well as just antivirals that we have that are just antivirals. So after the break, we will come back and talk a little bit about some of those options, and then also continue to talk about what that means in terms of really treating the disease as a disease, as our preventive mechanisms and the preventive mechanisms that we've been told by our ruling class have failed, and they failed because they knew they'd fail, which that's the problem. So we will be back after the break.
The Genesis Fogger is critically important to breathing cleaner air, which is essential to good health. Almost no one is killing pathogens in the air where they pose the risk of transmission. We've been ridiculously focused on hand sanitizer and other measures where the problem is the microbes are in the air, including COVID-19. The Genesis Fogger is HOCL. It's a powerful tool, not only for living with COVID, but also removing harmful pathogens. Remember, if we have fewer virions in the air, much less likely to get a critical inoculum and actually get clinically sick. The same thing applies to the cold and flu, whether it be adenoviruses, coronaviruses, polymyxoviruses, influenza viruses. And also, there are antibiotic resistant superbugs. There can be ones, particularly that are airborne, including Clostridium difficile, which is airborne and contact mode. So consider the Genesis fogger that utilizes HOCl. The Genesis fogger is perfectly designed. It's a machine that produces a fine dry mist using HOCl that quickly kills germs, bacteria, and viruses in the air and surfaces, and it does it simultaneously. So please go to genesisfogger.com/outloud and get 15% off your purchase of the Genesis fogger. That's where the upfront cost is going to be. And I can tell you, you're going to be happy you did it. So let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCl is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCl and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, HealthyCell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with HealthyCell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley with Dr. Jordan Bond of Concerned Doctors, ConcernedDoctors.org. Today we're discussing unfortunate revelations about the basic science that we have known for decades has proven true up until this point in the last 2.5 year fight against this created virus, the COVID epidemic. And in the last week, there have been a couple of earth-shaking events, I would say, in regards to the cracks in the dam of the facade of lies and deceptions. Of course, Dr. Deborah Birx, who is trying to sell her 500-plus page autobiography, once again, a bureaucratic doctor thinking she's worth 500-plus pages in the annals of history, is tragic in and of itself, just such a lack of self-awareness. But then also Tucker Carlson, we're going to play a 2-minute clip for you of Tucker Carlson revealing the evidence that we have been going over in detail tonight. He went over it this past week. Jordan, you want to play that?
Yeah, I'm going to turn it on in a second. But I think what this shows is, again, that when you accumulate the evidence of what's been done over the last 2 years, and instead of focusing on the here and now and the instant, but instead focus on the accumulation of what they've been saying, you start to realize that the problem is larger than just our leaders.
Systemic problems.
A link to neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, impaired DNA damage response, etc. So it's possible, in fact, it's looking likely that the vaccine might suppress the immune system. This fact, the authors concluded, will, quote, have a wide range of consequences, not the least of which include the reactivation of latent viral infection and the reduced ability to effectively combat future infections, end quote. Now, again, we sincerely hope that's not true. But it's not just the conclusion of one scientific journal. The Lancet, maybe the most famous scientific journal in the world, released similar findings in February. The Lancet's piece was entitled, quote, "Risk of Infection, Hospitalization, and Death Up to 9 Months After a Second Dose of COVID-19 Vaccine." A physician called Kenji Yamamoto made this observation about the data from The Lancet. He wrote this in a letter to the Journal of Virology, and we're quoting, "The study showed that immune function among vaccinated individuals 8 months after the administration of two doses of COVID-19 vaccine was lower than that among the unvaccinated individuals." Ah. Now, your first response, if you're a humane person, to a line like that has got to be deep sympathy, because people were misled. They were forced. They were forced. Medical ethics thrown out the window. People were forced to take medicine they didn't want. And some of them may have been hurt by it. And you don't have to take this man's word for it. Pull up the Lancet study yourself. You won't find anything of the text of the article saying what Kenji Yamamoto said, which is weird. Why would the Lancet want to hide a major finding like that? We can't say. But if you look at table 3 in the piece, here's what you'll find buried in the data. Among people around the age of 80 who have been double vaccinated, that would include people like Joe Biden, the per capita rate of medical incidences, including hospitalizations or death, is nearly twice as high as the rate of serious incidents for the unvaccinated. This is 180 days after vaccination.
So, again, I think what this does is point out pretty important finding that our really medical press and our medical, really our medical leaders are not interested in finding the truth. Because I will tell you that this story is not new. And when I'm talking about not new, I'm talking about if you look at a lot of the data, whether it's the data we talked about 2 weeks ago when the boosted seemed to test positive for the virus up to 15 days after infection versus the unvaccinated testing only around 5 days, the conclusion of that article was that the boosted could still spread the virus. Which, again, that is a finding, but it is not what the findings actually pointed to. Because, again, if you look at the data in a lot of these papers and a lot of this research, what you will find is that the data says a lot more than what the conclusions are written. And those conclusions are written by men and women that have an agenda, because that agenda a lot of times is to cover up the reality of what's going on. I mean, even in the recent English, you know, the England on the ONS, their Office of National Statistics, releases their data every Friday. And the data last Friday showed exactly, because they break down everybody's COVID hospitalizations and non-COVID hospitalizations. And there's a glaring difference, because you can find in the per 100,000 hospitalizations for non-COVID things, it seems like those people are being hospitalized 2 to 3 times more often than the unvaccinated. So this is it's not just the Lancet study. It's a weekly, if you actually look at the data tables that are released by England, you know, they divide it up probably on purpose, but unknowingly are also exposing the reality that heart attacks, clots, non-COVID things are dominating hospitalizations right now. Now, COVID hospitalizations aren't up, but I can ask, or not ask, but I can tell you that hospitalizations in general for a lot of things that go along with spike protein causing microclots, massive clots, all of the above, those things are definitely high. In fact, I think there was a journal article not too long ago about the new epidemic of heart failure. And I will tell you that it's not surprising that after injecting a bunch of people with something that might cause myocarditis or myocardial injury, that heart failure should be on the rise. And that is not, you know, not to be, but it seems like the cardiology journal was surprised. They're seeing more and more and they don't know why. Of course, they'll probably, you know, blame it on staying home, but I would beg
public
to
health and the public health entities of the countries of the world, starting at the top, the WHO, the FDA, the NIH, have failed and failed worse than anything they have ever, that we have ever considered. If you look at it, the public health has done everything in this fight against this virus to the detriment of the communities and the people at large. There will be no accounting, in my estimation. But let's take a mention about Secretary of Defense McNamara during the Vietnam War. When the baby boomers grew up, what did they grow up? What happened in the 60s? Back at the beginning of the 60s, the president, John F. Kennedy, was murdered in broad daylight. It was a mob hit. The evidence at the trial was clear. It was clearly a mob hit. The Warren Commission, the legislature, the Senate at the time, deemed it not to have been. It was just a crazy one man. So in the broad daylight, the most powerful man in the world is murdered. And our community sweeps it under the rug. Not important to punish those who were responsible. Then you go through the Vietnam War with all the lies and deceptions from the top on down with that. So here is the culture that the baby boomers grew up in. And boy, how do you look at the catastrophe of the morals of the Clinton administration? And then you look at the, of course, go back to the Roe v. Wade in the early 70s. And you just have what Pope John Paul II called the culture of death. You see all of the lies and death that these people grew up in. And now here we are when they're at the twilight of their career and they foist this upon us. And there is no doubt in my mind that this was orchestrated, whether it was the virus itself or the response to the virus. They had patents on this virus beginning in 2002 or 2016, way before we had ever heard of it. And now here we are. What are we going to do, though? And then what would you hope? You would hope that the communities would go toward their faith, houses of faith. And then what do we have to go? We just don't have to go back very long, a year and a half, and we have Russell Moore, the highly esteemed ethicist for the Southern Baptist Convention, discussing with Dr. Francis Collins, the discredited director of the NIH, who in beating us over the head tells us that that they're after the truth. Philippians 4, we should think about what is true, what is holy, what is right. And anybody who doesn't get these vaccines doesn't love their neighbor. Yet look at what they have wrought. Look at what they have wrought on us. What they have done to us is unimaginable. And the hubris, it always goes back to human pride, the hubris to say, we're not going to impose this on you, but you can't have a job. We're not going to impose this on you, but you can't go to church. And they couch it in these very pleasant ways with a pleasant demeanor. And here we are suffering the wrath of their decisions and their policies. I've yet to hear them apologize or seek repentance on what they've done to us. But the evidence is clear. These vaccines are going to wreak more and more and more havoc on our country and on the people. Yet where are they? They're sitting in their ivory towers. They're sitting on their yacht, I'm sure, drinking whatever it is they drink, numb their pathology that is so deep ingrained in them. But the answer for them, as with all of us, is always the same, repentance. They just have to admit, but their generation has not seen this in any small measure, I would say. And that's why we are stuck in this unbelievable nightmare, where the insanity is revealed day after day after day, you know, whether it's defund the cops or whatever in our culture. But the whole point is, what will it take for them to wake up? And news like what we've revealed today, where we have widely available, cheap, effective antivirals, and we've mentioned that Fauci and our now president is on Paxlovid, which is a $700, I think, $500 to $700 5-day course of treatment that is it affects the virus. It's a protease inhibitor. It affects the virus at a certain point in its reproduction. Actually, ivermectin does it more effectively, but ivermectin not only does that, but another 15 to 18 different things.
And by the way, Stuart, Paxlovid actually works fairly well on the unvaccinated.
In the unvaccinated. Was it tested in the vaccinated?
Right. It was only tested on unvaccinated.
Yeah, right. So the insanity, their crazy perspectives, hope it doesn't hurt our president, but apparently it did, unfortunately, hurt Fauci. I'm sure he had to take two rounds of it because the first round of it increased his susceptibility to reinfection. But the fact is that what's it going to take to wake up to this insanity and get over ourselves to stop the damage done on the adults and now on the babies? And we just got to reach out to anybody of any influence in your community and state and tell them to force the closure of the vaccine sites. We've got to, and to open, Tennessee a couple of months ago passed a law that ivermectin can now be sold over the counter. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, the pharmacies won't sell it over the counter. We're going to ignore these big corporations. We're going to ignore what the people need and want because we have to maintain the protection of the elites and the narrative.
Yeah, we're gonna make freely available an EUA vaccine that is basically a genetic injection, and you can get it anywhere. You can get it in your car by sticking your arm out, and you can get all the consequences that Tucker just talked about. Yet a medicine that is literally probably one of the safest medicines that is available and is past FDA safety, I would remind you, many years ago, that we will restrict. And again, that's the insanity that we're up against.
No question.
So, all right, well, we're going to close it off for today. Again, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley. We are on America Out Loud Pulse. We are happy to be here with you this afternoon and thankful for our audience. You can find more about us or more about what we're trying to do by returning the power of medicine and the art of medicine back to the patient-physician relationship, and also always insisting on informed consent when any intervention is really instigated or commenced within the medical relationships. So again, we thank you for listening to us today, and we will see you next week.